page 434. The theoretical necessity mirrors the real compulsiveness with which the production and reproduction of human life goes on in this epoch. The autonomy which the economic forces have acquired in respect to mankind, the dependence of all social groups on the self-regulation of the economic apparatus, that men cannot shape their labor according to their common will, but under a principle which sets them against one another individually and in groups, produce with their labor not security and freedom, but general insecurity and dependence. That they fall into misery, war, and destruction instead of using the immeasurable increased social wealth for their happiness, and are the slaves instead of the masters of their fate. This finds expression in the form of logical necessity, proper to the true theory of contemporary society. It would therefore be wrong to think that events in a future society could be deduced according to the same principles and with the same necessity as the lines of development of the present one. The meaning of the categories will change along with the structure of society from which they are drawn and in whose description they play a role. The concept of historical tendency loses the compulsive character that it had in the present historical period, while preserving a relation to the category of natural necessity, which may indeed be narrowed but can never be transcended completely. The concept of the individual will lose the character of an isolated monad and simultaneously the unconditionally central place it has held in the system of thought and feeling in recent centuries are at the moment when individual and general goals really coincide and are supported in the whole society. When man no longer merely imagines that he embodies absolutely self-determination, but is in reality a member of a freely self-determining society. With the ending of the situation in which the contradiction between particular and general purposes necessarily follows from the economic structure and the idea that the individualistic principles has been fully transcendent, rests partly on a conscious deception and partly on impotent dreaming. The concept of the I loses its function of controlling the entire relation to the world and acquires another meaning. As long as the life of society flows not from cooperative work, but from the destructive competition of individuals whose relationship is essentially conducted through the exchange of commodities, then I, possession, the mind and not mind play a fundamental role in experience, in speech and thought, in all cultural expressions, characterizing and dominating all particulars in a decisive way. In this period, the world disintegrates into I and not I, as in Fichte's transcendental philosophy, and one's own death means absolutely annihilation insofar as this relationship is not alleviated by metaphysical or religious faith. Page 435. Like the categories of tendencies and the individual, all other social concepts will be affected by the alteration of reality. The more formal categories, such as the lawful nature of society, causality, necessity, science, and so on, as well as the more material ones, such as value, price, profit, class, family, and nation, acquire a different look in the theoretical structures which correspond to a new situation. In traditional logic, this alteration of concepts is interpreted in such a way that the original divisions in the system of classification of a field of knowledge are made more specific by subdivisions. The general concept of tendency then includes the historical tendencies of the present society as well as the possible tendencies of a different sort in a future society. In spite of all historical changes, Aristoteles' definition of the polis, composed of individuals and groups and differing not only quantitatively but qualitatively from its elements, can be absorbed into a supreme formal category of society, valid for all forms of society and thus preserved in its general validity. For Aristotle himself, slavery belonged to this highest category, while in later conceptual systems, it is only one of the subcategories of society contrasted to other definite types. The conceptual realism which dominates Platonic and in part medieval philosophy and whose remnants have by no means yet been surmounted in modern logic, for instance, in modern phenomenology, has the character of discursive logic. It interprets all changes as mere additions of new subtypes under the universal types, made absolute and subsumed under the metaphysical view that all changes is to be understood as the incarnation or emanation of permanent ideas and essences in every new particulars and examples. Thus, the essential would always remain in the old. There would be an internal realm of unalterable ideas, and all change would affect only the lower levels of being. Indeed, it would not be genuinely real and would only exist for the dull senses of men. Since the Hegelian system hypothesizes the categories dealt with in its framework, it still preserves something of this realism and falls into the dualism of essence and appearance which it opposed so vigorously. The given fate of historically determined individuals and the changing circumstances of present and future history become null and void in comparison with the ideas which are supposed to underline the past. The discursive logic of understanding is only limited inside Hegel's system. In the sense of a metaphysical legend, it retains its reifying power over this philosophy as a whole. Page 436. The logic of the understanding, abstract from the fact that the face of the changed content of concepts, lumping them indiscriminately with those which formerly went under the same headings, can become distortion, and a new definition, a new ordering and hierarchy of concepts can become necessary. Perhaps the category of tendencies later becomes so reconstructed as to revolutionize its relation to the concept of systematic purposes on the one hand and that of the power of nature on the other. The concept of the state alters its relation to the categories of will, domination, force, society, and so on. Such definite perspectives do not flow from observation of today's valid system of classification of social phenomena, but from the theory of historical development itself, of which the former is only an ordered abstract inventory. The connection between the concrete movement of thought as it develops in constant interrelation with the life of society and the systems organized by the understanding is not examined in detail by traditional logic, which relegates it to a separate discipline as the subject of the history of science or culture. It itself deals with the relations of unchanging concepts, how one passes from one to another judiciously and conclusively, and how one develops from each what it contains. Traditional logic is a science of the necessary laws of thought, without which no use of understanding and reason takes place, and which are therefore the conditions under which alone understanding can and should be congruous with itself, the necessary laws and prerequisites of its correct use. Footnote 35. Text. Their function is to make clear concepts intelligible. Footnote 36. Text. This proceeds analytically, drawing out of the concept that is in it. The concept itself remains the same, only the form is changed. Just as another is added to a map itself when it is illuminated, so the light up of a concept by the analysis of its characteristics does not expand the concept itself in the least. Footnote 37. Text. Traditional logic had nothing to do with the alteration of the map and the construction of a new system of classification. But if concepts are used without being strictly tied into the existing system of reference, in which all previous discoveries of the branch concerned have been arranged, if they are used without that correct reading of the map which is required by the laws of logic, every intellectual outline remains blurred, or rather meaningless. The accurate description of the object results from the methodical collaboration of all cognitive forces in the theoretical construction. Aside from the table of contents, for this content, which it does not itself produce, the tabular understanding also gives conceptual material. Footnote 38. Text. From time to time, the empirical sciences, investigation and analysis, have contradicted the material of the dialectical description in finding general uniformities, classification, and laws. Footnote 39, text. Page 437. The real significance of this work, the cognitive value of understanding, rests on the fact that reality knows not only constant change but also relatively static structure. Because development proceeds not gradually but in leaps, there are between these junctures leaps and revolutions, periods in which the tensions and contradictions trying to break through appear as elements of a relatively closed and fixed totality, until the particular form of being turns into another. This determinate and organized state is therefore a necessary condition of truth, but not its real form, movement, and progress. Thus, traditional logic is inadequate for and comprehends only individual aspects of the historically conditioned alteration of the fundamental categories and every thought process about the subject matter. Since a concept plays a determinate role in the dialectical construction of any event, it becomes a non-autonomous aspect of a conceptual whole which has other qualities than the sum of all the concepts included in it. This whole, the construction of the particular object, can indeed only come into existence in a way appropriate to the existing knowledge if the concepts are interpreted in the sense that belongs to them in the systems of the individual sciences. In the systematic inventory of scientifically based definitions, insofar as it is a question of concepts for which special branches of science exists. In Capital, Marx introduces the basic concepts of classical English political economy, value, price, labor, time, and so on. In accordance with their precise definition, all the most progressive definitions drawn from scientific practice at that time are employed. Nevertheless, these categories acquire new functions in the course of the presentation. They contribute to a theoretical whole, the character of which contradicts the static views in connection with which they come into being. In particular, their uncritical use in isolation. Materialists, economics as a whole is placed in opposition to the classical system. Yet,